to Revelation chapter 5. The book of Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to read this together before we pray here. Verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9. Are we ready? And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we are grateful this morning for the salvation of our souls. Lord, we heard this morning about forgiveness, the beauty of releasing others who have wronged us and hurt us, who've caused pain in our life. But, oh God, we thank you. We think of all the pain that we caused you. Thank you, Lord, this morning. You've washed our sins away, and you've forgiven us and released us. To release us from the bondage and grip of our past sin, but also to free us from sin in the future. Giving us the power in our lives to live victoriously, to live an overcoming life. Lord, may we realize the full reality of those things. You didn't save us. You didn't forgive our sins just so we could fall back in them again. But to redeem us, true redemption, the power to live above sin. We thank you this morning. Pray you'd bless the word as it's preached. Lord, anoint my lips, clear any fog of my thoughts. Bring forth clear thoughts, Lord, that could be a blessing and an inspiration. Feed the flock. Lord, I pray that you administer grace to the hearers this morning. Thank you this morning for your love to us. We bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Contemplated whether I should this morning continue my series on enemies of the soul, and I have another message brewing on that one, but the Lord led me in a different path this morning, and I think it's a fitting one for what we're doing here in the last 2 weekends and singing together, rejoicing together, learning together, being stretched. Is that right, Brother Joe? We're being stretched a little. Our capabilities of learning are not quite as they were when we were young. And so we have a harder time remembering when we get older. And you young ones, I'm blessed and encouraged to see you take a hold of music and learning the what the do re mi's are and how to sing those and jump from one to the next. And oh, amen. God bless you. I'm glad if you can learn to read that. That will bless your life in an abundant way. I want to write the title up. It stems from the verse that we read. Preach this morning on the subject, the song of the redeemed. The song of the redeemed. So I was sitting here this morning pondering that, and with what Brother Ben shared, and just some of the inspirations that were going through my own heart, and in that I thought about the song of this redeemed, like he says here in Revelation, that they sung a new song. And he has this phrase in here, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And you put that together, here's a new song, the song of the redeemed. I don't know that we know that song yet. And I wonder how it's going to be, just like it's been in through music class here in the last couple weekends. We had some new songs. Will it be a bit difficult for us to sing this song when we get to heaven, this new song? Maybe he's declaring some of it to us right here, some of the words. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. And then as I was sitting here thinking about all of this, I realized that if we're going to sing the song of the redeemed, there's preparation of the heart that takes place. And I just like to encourage us. We've been focusing on music, and rightfully so. But there's a preparation of the heart that we all need when we come here and we sing together. There's a preparation. The amount that you get out of our singing right here depends on that preparation. We all know that, right? Sometimes we forget it. But we all know that if our heart is in tune with God and prepared to receive his word, and you know, before we ever enter these doors, and our heart is in preparation to worship him, there's something happens here as we're sitting here and we corporately sing together that you don't have if you don't prepare your heart. But so much more so, the song of the redeemed. People who have been redeemed, who know what it is to be changed, totally transformed from the inside out, they have this song of the redeemed in their own heart. They know what it is. They have something to sing about. The song of the redeemed. You find me a person who is lost in sin, and they just found forgiveness and power in their life. They have a song that they never had before. It's the song of the redeemed. Songs have a theme. Songs have a theme. I'm just making some general statements here because there's the song of the redeemed. There's also a lot of other songs. Songs exalt something or someone. Songs have a way of communicating. They carry a message, both for us and for the one who we're singing about or the subject that we're singing about. Songs communicate, obviously, the words. Music, that's what we've been working on. Music also communicates. Music is not just a dead thing. But it's very alive to carry a message. And music is written specifically to be able to carry a certain message. And usually in our hymns, as you look at your hymn books and the songs even that we were singing this morning, it seems like it starts building in the message of the song. And as you get further down into the song, there's like a crescendo. There's a point of that he's making a point. And usually it's centered around a certain subject or object that it's focused on. And it, so it carries a message, and the music builds to that. So music carries a message. Most of you listened to that music CD that we was promoting here some time ago, and he uses an illustration I thought was very good, and I just borrow from it again here just briefly this morning, but just to make this point that music carries a message. If you're driving down the road or if you're walking along the street and you hear music in a building, you might not understand the words, but you'll know whether that music is good or not just by listening. You don't even have to listen to the words or hear the words. I'm just saying that music has a message. If it's gospel music that you're hearing, you'll identify with it. Oh, those people are rejoicing. Those people have joy in their hearts. Or maybe it's a happy message or a sad message. But we can tell, we can identify it. The song of the redeemed also carries a clear message, both in word and in its music. The song of the redeemed. Singing has the ability to convey a message that softens the heart. It's amazing to me, but some of the hardest criminals, if you've ever been to prisons, some of the hardest criminals can be sitting there, and you begin to sing, and something happens that they can't get a hold of it. They don't know what's happening. But all of a sudden, they begin to shed tears. Tears begin running down their face as they hear the singing. Singing, they can have the hardest look, but singing has a way of softening. So this morning, there's four questions I'd like to focus on. And I was contemplating whether I should write them up here. Maybe I should. Very simple. Who should we sing to? Why do we sing? What song should we sing? And lastly, when should we sing? Now you already have all the answers, right? You already know what the answers are. Many times we do, don't we? If we stop and think a little bit. And I don't know that I'm going to say anything new to you, but I think as we open our hearts, the Lord can allow the inspiration of these things. And my heart is really to highlight the song of the redeemed. So who should we sing to? We talked about songs, and they exalt something or someone. They lift something up. So singing can be, isn't always, but it can be worship. Singing can be worship. Worship is more than just singing. Worship can be had in prayer, in quietness, in meditation, in a lot of different ways. Worship can come. But singing is also a form of communicating that worship to God. So who should we sing to? Well, that's not a difficult answer, but a profound subject that we sometimes miss. I think sometimes we miss it. I have. I've sat here for many years, and sometimes we just get used to things, and we miss what we could have had. I want to read some verses to help us to grasp who we should sing to. Judges 5, verse 3 says, "Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." Well, I think that's beautiful, don't you? To sing praise to God. I thought that's probably where you would go with that answer. Who should we sing to? I hope you went there and not pointed here. Sing to me. But what do we do with it? Will we sing? Are we singing unto the Lord? I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. Psalm 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Do you see that exaltation? How singing brings an exaltation to someone? We sing unto thy name, O thou most high. Same chapter, Psalm 9, verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Now here we're not only singing praises to the Lord, he says, but he says we're declaring among the people his doings. So he's broadening the picture here of the song of the redeemed. Not only are the redeemed singing to God, but they're also broadening it where we're also singing and declaring among the people his doings. Psalm 40, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto who? Unto our gods. Many shall see it. There we are again, declaring among the people his doings. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. What profound results from singing the song of the redeemed. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Maybe we're missing out on some things yet that we could be having by singing, by going out and sharing the message, the communicating a message, declaring it among the people. Maybe it's the widow. Maybe it's some other neighbor, just an older couple, just declaring the message of truth, of redemption in singing and the power it has. Many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Finish it. To the Lord. To the Lord. That's who we should sing to. Very similar verse in Ephesians 5, verse 19 and 20 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have both sides. We have speaking to yourselves, declaring among the people. But also we have giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the answer here to God, to Jesus, the Son of God, we sing even to ourselves, where he says here that speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns. How many times have you've been alone, and maybe you're just feeling a bit down, and you begin to sing, and you begin to lift up your voice with very familiar songs. Maybe My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less, or some other song that just comes to memory. And before long, something begins to change in your heart, in your spirit. And you begin to reach out to God. And your heart is lifted in thanks to God. And it makes a difference. You're speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And we also sing to others. Now, number two, why do we sing? Why do we sing? I was sitting here this morning wondering, what would it be like if singing was not a part of our vocabulary? We didn't even know what it was to sing. All we would know is to maybe repeat some phrases and just, you know, talk these phrases out, or I'm not sure what good example there would be. We have a treasure. We have a tremendous treasure in song to be able to sing the song of the redeemed. We have a tremendous treasure in that. I'm glad that God saw fit for us to sing. And not only for us, humanity, to sing praises unto Him, but He also sings over us. He rejoices over us with singing, the Bible says. That's amazing. Why should we sing? Psalm 13, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord. Does anyone know how to finish that? Because He hath dealt bountifully with me. That's a good reason to sing. And, you know, it's the song of the redeemed. Because if God has dealt bountifully with you, and you begin to recognize that, something begins to well up in your heart. You just want to sing. You want to just share it to God. Communicate to God your thanksgiving and what He's done for you. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, because of that, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. God is my strength, my shield, my heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Are you helped this morning? Has God helped you? When God has helped us, there is a rejoicing that goes on in our heart. And with my song will I praise Him for helping me. Because of what God is doing in my heart and who He is, my strength, my shield, and what He's doing in my life. It might be trials. It might be difficult situations even that we're going through. But when our heart trusts in Him, then we realize He is our help. And our heart rejoices. And we begin to sing the song of the redeemed. In Romans 15, verse 7 through 11, this is New Testament here. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. What a good reason to sing. We're all Gentiles here, right? Any Jews here? It's okay if you are. Raise your hand if you are. I think we're all Gentiles. From what I know, I think we're all Gentiles, right? Gentiles weren't God's people. In the Old Testament, that was Gentiles were not God's people. But God has changed us, right? The New Testament has brought a change. That's part of this redemption that we're talking about. This part of being redeemed, where God opened up his plan of salvation to all humanity, that whosoever will may come and drink of this water of life freely. Whosoever will. And he says here that as Christ also received us to the glory of God, he's talking about us being received by God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That kind of receiving, Christ also received us. It says, in that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. How much mercy did it take God to redeem the Gentiles? Took a lot, didn't it? It took a lot to redeem us back to God. It says, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Why should we sing? Because we've been received by God. He's received us as a son. He's received us. If your heart has been transformed, again, I just want to reiterate that this song of the redeemed happens when there's a transformation that's taken place. When you've been brought out of darkness into light. When your sins have been washed away and cleansed by Christ. When your will surrenders to Almighty God. And you're done fighting and done with your own life, charting your own course. That's the transformation I'm talking about. That's the song that comes out of the redeemed. Because that's when God can redeem us. If we're still charting our own course, fighting our own way, we don't have this song of the redeemed. We are Gentiles, yet God has had mercy on us. That gives us a song to sing. Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Sing unto the Lord. Why? For he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Reminds me of Jesus' prayer that he taught his disciples. Just a phrase there. That he says, deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. Have you been delivered? Are you yet being delivered from evil? Are there temptations that are coming, but you're by his power and strength in your life, your choices to serve him, are you overcoming? That's the song of the redeemed. That gives us a reason to sing. To triumph. We don't have that song when there's defeat. And I don't know where to inject this, and I was pondering where to inject it, but this is probably a good place there in Psalm 137. Israel had struggled and struggled with the commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There was good years, and then they usually had a good king, and then they had so many years, there was evil kings, one after the other, and they would fall deep into idolatry, taking on the gods of the nations, worshiping and bowing down to the same images that the nations were bowing down to. All the groves, all the altars, literal idols of stone, of wood, all this thing. And their heart was not toward God. Finally, God said, it's enough. And he sends people from Babylon to come and to overthrow Israel, Judah, to take them captives. They took them captives to Babylon. Why? God was trying and trying to get their attention. While they were in Babylon is where we read here, Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Jerusalem, Zion, the house of God. We remembered what we used to have back there, but we don't have it. We're slaves, we're bondmen to these Babylonish people. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? There's some powerful truths in those verses. When we're living in defeat, and we've been taken captive, and we're required of us a song, there's just an unsettledness. We can't identify with what we're trying to communicate. How can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? In a land that's not ours. In a land that God hasn't given us. We're in defeat. We're in bondage. And we can't sing the song of the redeemed because of our sin, our iniquity that separates us from God. Oh, yes, we might be able to mouth some words. We might even be able to be very skillful in music. But is it really connected in your heart? The song of the redeemed makes a connection between your heart and the heart of God, and there's a connection there. Isaiah 51, verse 9 through 11 says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea and the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going through the Red Sea. He says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Why should we sing? Because of who God is. He is worthy. Why should we sing? Because of his mercy that he's bestowed on us. Why should we sing? Because he's received us. We're his children, sons and daughters of the King. Why should we sing? Because of what he's doing in our life, the testimony of our life. Sometimes it's through deep valleys. But even then, we reach out to him. David probably wrote majority of his psalms through the hardest times of his life. There was times of victory and times of joy, but you read through Psalms, you'll see it just again and again, that valley, and then back up again. He was discouraged, and then back up, rejoicing in his God and what he was doing in his life. Rejoicing because of the gladness and the joy that Jesus Christ has brought into our lives. Let's move on to the next one. What song should we sing? What song should we sing? There's a lot of different ways we could go here. Like I said earlier, you know, there's a lot of songs. The world has its songs too that they're singing, and it does exalt. It exalts something, probably not what we want to exalt, but the world does have their songs that they sing. Most times it's promoting selfishness, the songs that they're singing. It promotes selfishness. I think about back in the late 50s, early 60s, when the rock and roll band came on the scene, and that lifted up rebellion. It still does. It still does today. That's what it promotes. I'm in control. That's the whole context. Then we have some of us, we're probably into country music before we learned the song of the redeemed. And that country music had a grip on us. And there's a lot of different messages that it gives, but it's filled with sensual messages. It's filled with love songs that are promoting unfaithfulness. Or promoting just having a good time. That's what it's all about. That's country for you. These songs leave you all pumped up with an empty life. Totally empty. That's not the song of the redeemed. That's not the kind of song that I'm talking about singing. What should we sing? What song should we be singing? I love these little excerpts that we have in Scripture about that. Exodus 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song. Wow, that's the kind of song we need to be singing. That the Lord is my strength. It says, and he has become my salvation. That's the kind of song we should sing. The song of salvation, how God has freed us from the grips of sin. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. That's the kind of song we should be singing. A song that exalts God and who he is. Songs of exaltation to God. Songs about his strength. Songs exalting the salvation that God brought to us through Jesus Christ. But he puts this little phrase in there. He says, and I will prepare him an habitation. Is there any verse that comes to your mind about that? I will prepare him an habitation. Any verse that comes to your mind? What is that verse? Go ahead, paraphrase it. Whatever you need there. What's the thought? John 14. Amen. A place of habitation. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Beautiful. There's another one I'm thinking about. The one about says that God inhabits the praises of his people. I will prepare for him a habitation. How do we do that? The song of the redeemed, preparing our own hearts, singing, opening our hearts to God, preparing a habitation for God, a clean vessel, a heart prepared. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 30 says, moreover, Hezekiah the king, and this is before they were carried off to Babylon, just before, moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David. We're talking about what song should we sing. And Hezekiah told the Levites to sing praises unto the Lord with the words of David and Asaph. Does that ring any bells? It's all over Psalms. And Asaph, the seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. That's the song that they sang. The words of David and of Asaph, which would be right straight out of the book of Psalms. They sang those. I'd like to have some of those tunes. Psalm 119, verse 54. We know Psalm 119, that's the longest chapter in the Bible, right? Verse 54, about in the center, not quite. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. We're talking about what kind of songs should we sing. Thy statutes. He's talking about the law. He's talking about the word of God. You know, our songs that we should be singing should be based right here. Not some giddy, goody feeling of some kind, but based out of the word of God, how God has reached our heart. And it's the testimony and the overflow of that. We need more songwriters with those kind of testimonies flowing out of their hearts. There should be newer dates coming up, right? I don't have a songbook up here, but there's little dates there written in your songbook. There's dates there when that was written. It would be a blessing to have more of them written 2020. An inspiration of what God has been doing in my own heart, reviving my heart. Flowing right straight from the word of God. Colossians 3, verse 16 promotes it as well. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How? In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This morning, I don't know, you probably didn't notice it, but I did, obviously, because I was prepared for this. But there was a lot of different songs that we sang. We started out in the beginning with songs of worship to our God, who He is, how great He is, how we should sing loud anthems to His name and rejoice in Him. And then the last song, just before I came up here, was a song speaking to ourselves, communicating a message and carrying a message to us to search our own hearts. Those of us who are not right with God, to search our heart. That's the was the communication of a lot of that song to us. And I think the new one that we're learning as well communicated a lot of that. Psalms. Psalms are not necessarily just the book of Psalms, but it can be poetry, it can be other psalms. But again, the song that we should sing, let it be based right here on a firm foundation. Some of these songs that are out there are not based right here. I feel good. I feel good. Do you know what that song is? It's not based here. How many of you have heard that song? Maybe it's just a select few, I'm glad. But it's a very light, fluffy, means nothing kind of song. And it doesn't do anything other than just, yeah, it's very empty. And that's how it is with a lot of songs that are not based on the Word of God. But when they're based here, and we sing verses that have been written from an inspiration that someone had, we're singing psalms. We're singing those messages of truth and right. We have hymns. You know, the Anabaptists, they were thrown into prison. They were being persecuted, and out of that, many of them wrote hymns. Out of the deep affliction of their own heart and what they were going through, They wrote hymns, spiritual songs. I think those can be songs varying. There's a lot of variation on spiritual songs, but these are the kind of songs that we want to lift up and promote. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. James 5, verse 13, yet on this point. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Amen. Let him sing good, solid, foundational things. You have a merry heart. You have a heart that's been redeemed and you just want to express it. Amen. Let's sing of these truths that are written in the book and lift those things up. Lastly, when should we sing? When should we sing? Turn with me to 2 Samuel 22. Just want to grab a phrase here. 2 Samuel 22. This was, I believe, David here. In verse 1, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now just let your mind go backwards a while to all that David went through with Saul and all the unjustness and all the Saul seeking his life and barely escaping, you know, many times. And twice God had given Saul right into David's hands. He could have just wiped him out. And David wouldn't do it because he was the Lord's anointed. But after the Lord, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, David sang. What a beautiful time to sing, right? When the victory is sure and you know that God has delivered you out of the lion's hand, to lift up a voice, your voice in song. When should we sing? David sang when he has delivered out of the hand of his enemy. This song has 50 verses, Brother Joshua. I haven't heard a song that long yet. But this one has 50 verses. I know they probably split these up, but kind of makes a point, right? That this is a beautiful song. I'd like to hear it sometime. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll hear this song. It's a beautiful psalm, actually, that was written there. When should we sing? Psalm 100, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. When we enter into the presence of God, it's a good time to give thanks and to bring singing to God. In your quiet time is a good time. Bring song to God, entering into his courts with singing, with praise. Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. When should we sing? As long as we live. He goes on, he says, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. While there's still breath in me to praise God. As long as I live. Hebrews 13, verse 15, Jesus, our Redeemer. It says here, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I haven't always done that. And notice that word sacrifice in there. There are many times when praise is a sacrifice. It's not an easy thing. It doesn't just come. It doesn't just flow. It's still the song of the redeemed. But it's coming out of a heart that's weighted and heavy. And yet we choose to sing. Hebrews 2, verse 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. We were doing that this morning. We were singing praise right here in the midst of the church. And thankfully, the church doesn't need to just be under this roof, but the church can go with us. We're part of that. We can sing when we're alone. We can sing as a family. We can sing, you know, with a friend. It can be a part of that singing in the midst of the church, even though he's promoting in the midst of the church here. I love this story here in 2 Chronicles 20. I'll let that to your homework, but 2 Chronicles 20, just read the whole chapter. It's talking about Israel. Jehoshaphat was faced with the enemy. The Moabites had come down against him, I believe the Ammonites as well, and he didn't know what he was going to do. He was at wit's end, could we say. And then one of the relatives of Asaph, by the way, one of the relatives of Asaph, after Jehoshaphat had offered up a beautiful prayer of trust and faith and confidence in God, that even though I don't know what to do, God's going to do something. And Asaph stands up and he says, here's what God's going to do. You won't even need to fight this battle because God's going to go ahead of you. And all you need to do is just establish some singing and go forth to the battle with song. And God did just what he said he would do. He confided those enemies. They left. How? Singing. When should we sing? You're in the midst of a battle. It's a good time to sing. Nehemiah 12, verse 27. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. These are all beautiful illustrations. As you think about all the effort, this is now coming from Babylon. After they were captives, they came back to Jerusalem. The walls were broken down. There was places in the walls that need fixed. And so they banded together, and they had Sanballat and Tobiah to fight with, and to, you know, they just really had a hard time, really. And yet, finally, they get this wall put back together, and Jerusalem is fortified again. And they dedicated the wall. They dedicated their efforts, their labors that they had wrought. They dedicated it to the Lord. And they sought out the Levites, it says, out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And I thought about that dedication. What a beautiful picture for us in dedication of our life. How many songs do we have of dedication in our own songbooks? Think about the one, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. You know, out of the overflow of our heart, we sing those things and we lift up our heart in adoration to God and saying, Lord, I'm just surrendering. I'm giving you everything. Maybe there's just a portion that we like to keep for ourselves. Maybe a little like Ananias and Sapphira. We like to make it look like we gave it all. But really, there's a little portion still there. God wants us just to surrender those things. What a beautiful time to sing those kind of songs in dedication. Take my life and let it be. We sang the song Channels Only. Just being a channel for God, a yielded vessel. We sing the song, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow. And then lastly, Revelation 5, verse 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. When we get to heaven, we will join the ransom. We will join the redeemed there, singing those songs, the song of the redeemed. We will join Brother Monroe. We will join Brother Raymond. We will join all those others who have gone before us, Brother Fred, and all the different ones who have gone before us. We will join them in worship around that throne, singing the song of the redeemed. That's beautiful. Aren't you looking forward to that hymn singing? Oh, that'll be the most blessed hymn singing we've ever had. One day we will join those 24 elders bowing before that throne, the throne of God, and we will sing with them this new song of the redeemed. Amen. It's for a prepared heart, for those who have a prepared heart, making preparation. We can join those redeemed already, singing on this side of eternity, and then singing throughout all eternity that song of the redeemed. God bless each of you. Let's put our heart into it. I think even what we're learning now, won't that help us in eternity too? Am I just too narrow-minded? I think it will. I think it will bless us to know those songs and to be able to rejoice in God our Maker. Exalt Him. Praise the Lord.